belief that we can't experience a supernatural life in the Holy Spirit without a true hunger for God. And I just really have been convinced lately that what the Lord wants to do in our fellowship, really and across, I think, this nation, is put a deep, abiding hunger for Him inside of His people. And I have recently received from the Lord a hunger in my heart that's greater than I've ever experienced. I mean, when I got saved, or when I gave my life to Jesus when I was 19, which was 15 years ago now, I was on fire. I was willing to do whatever God wanted me to do. I would talk to whoever. I would do, that's that first love experience. You're so in love with Jesus, there's just nothing that you won't do. And my encounter was drastic. It was dramatic. It was supernatural. I was dead, and now I'm alive. And that's what Jesus came to do. He didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. And you know what happens when you're a Christian over time is you meet Jesus and you go to church and you serve and you put your hand to things, and you tend to lose your love for Jesus, and you tend to also lose what this whole thing is about, which is Him. It's about His glory. It's about His goodness. It's about worshiping Him. It's about who He is and what He's like, and it's about seeing His majesty. And there are times in our Christian life where God wants to open our eyes and say, "Where have you been?" And we can take that as a negative and we can take that as a rebuke. But friends, there are just times that we need to recognize that we're becoming in our Christian life more and more dead. And He wants to revive. He wants to open our heart. He wants to open our eyes. I feel as a preacher, including this week, I will have spoken at 5 churches, including our own. And I get to, the privilege of my life is I get to go to different churches and I get to see what God is doing at different places and speak to them. It's such a privilege. I mean, I never thought that I'd be doing this, nor do I have I ever thought I deserved to or had that much to say. But it's my love for Jesus that compels me, and that's really all I have to talk about. It's Him. And in doing that, I've noticed that the people of God, we really need to be awakened. I mean, I can preach about serving as I did last week, and I can preach about what you ought to do. You should do this, and the Bible teaches us to do this, and this is what God has called us to do. And we can do that. We can lay out the principles that God has called us to, what He wants us to become, and what He's asking of us. But unless our heart is alive, we're not compelled to do those things. We will agree with them in our mind, but we will not in action go after Him, because it's like our heart is not on fire. But when your heart is in love, you will do incredible things. Is that true? I hope that's true of you married people. And even in our marriages, doesn't it happen? You get really familiar with your spouse. And the things that you once did, and writing letters and sending emails and doing cute things, and you were willing to do anything. And what happens is you become dead in your relationship with your spouse at times. And you need moments where you are awakened to love them once again like you did at first. And at times we hold ourselves back in the Lord. We hold ourselves back from what Jesus really wants us to do. This isn't a religion. He didn't call us to just do good things. It's about becoming new people that are so alive with Him. We are inflamed with love for humanity that reflects the Lord Jesus when He was here on the earth. We are all that He has in this world to represent Him. And He's chosen to invest into us and trust us with that. And I just want to say that we really do. And I don't know where you're at, and so I'm speaking sort of on your behalf, but I'm speaking for myself that we need a hunger for the Lord. We need a hunger for God. We need our hearts to get set on fire for Jesus again, that it no longer is a burden to do what God's called us to do. When we read the word, we want to do. It's not like a command. It's a love invitation from the One that set us free and opened our hearts and made us alive. It's not a hard thing. It's not a difficult thing. It's a wonderful blessing. It's an opportunity. It's an invitation. It's never an obligation. It's never what we have to do. It's what we get to do. We get to walk with Him. We get to know Him. We get to serve people because of Him. We get to because that's what He's done inside of us. And I think there's a revival coming in our church. And I believe there's an outpouring coming to this region and this nation. And the Lord said to me one day, this was not long ago, He said, "Speak it until it happens." And so fine, if people say that I'm crazy, they're probably right. But I think we need to stand up and go after what He's saying. There's a lot of bad that's going on. This is not a time where we should be asleep as a church. This is an hour where God needs His people to be awake. and representing him. This is an hour where God needs light to shine brightly through his people, because dark, it's really dark out there. And I could give you stories, and you obviously have your own about how dark it is, but I believe the Lord wants to fill us with a hunger first. I think it's hunger that will take us where curiosity will not go. We can be curious about what God wants to do and can do, but curiosity won't take you there. Hunger will take you. Matter of fact, hunger will make you do pretty crazy things. If you've ever been really hungry, you realize that it will cause you to and compel you to do things that you thought you wouldn't do. I remember in our old church, before I came here, there was a woman that was, she had come through, I don't remember if she was in her 90s or, I'm going to mix this story up a little bit because it's off the cuff, but she had come through sort of the tail end of the war camps of the persecution of the Jews through Germany. And she was very old. She was a part of our church. She came to our church plant to actually just pray. That's all she did. She was from England, and she was a Jew, and she was obviously a Messianic Jew, and she was such an amazing woman, and she was a little different because she was always just sort of tapped into God, and she would say things that didn't make sense often, and I liked to listen to her because she had a cool accent. I'm always in if you got a British accent. I just can listen, and she did this really strange thing. I used to go with her to Seattle, and we would drive around Kirkland where our church was planted, and she would ration her food. I don't know if you've ever met somebody that does this, but in about 16 pockets and places in her purse, she would ration her food. She had little plastic bags that she would put little pieces of food. And she said to me, I was wondering what in the world she was doing, taking little pieces of food out of weird pockets that I didn't even think you would have. And she would eat at different times. And I asked her, like, what are you doing? Like, I've noticed that you have all these pockets and all these little rations of food. And she said, for so long, I didn't know where my next meal was going to come from. So I learned to put away little pieces of food in case I was starving, and I've never been able to stop doing it. And she adopted a way of life where she could continue to eat, because hunger will make you do things. Hunger will make you do things. And this is how this woman stayed alive. And I believe that a hunger for God will make us do things that we actually really need to do. And until we have that hunger, we're not going to put our hand to the things that God's called us to. We've got to be hungry for God, and we've got to be hungry for God to use us. It's extremely important. We have an appetite for so many things, and I don't want to spend a lot of time putting those down. But I grieve at times. Do I love, are my affections greater for anything in this life, in this culture? I mean, I have the tension, and I hope you walk out the tension. One thing I love about Pastor Chris, not to lift him up or whatever, but is that I know he's a guy that loves sports. And I appreciate that. And I love playing sports. I hate watching sports, by the way. I know some of you are not going to like me, but I love playing sports. I just can't sit still and long enough to watch something on television. I just that's how I am. So, but one thing I love about Pastor Chris is I know that his love for sports is never greater than his love for God. And he lives in the tension. And I've often watched him question whether or not he should let go of this for a season or let go of that. And that's the tension that we all should have, is are we giving our affections over for things greater than they are for God? What are we more excited about? Are we more excited about seeing a cold heart set on fire because we get to share the gospel? Or are we more excited about whatever the culture is enamored with? And I know it's a really hard thing to say. It's a difficult thing to talk about. What do we love more? What are we more hungry for? Are we hungry for God, or are we hungry for the things of this world? It's not wrong to like things of this world. That's not wrong. I like recreation. I love basketball. I like playing. I play all the time. But do we love the things of this world more than we love God? And I'll be honest, I'll be the first one to actually admit it. There are times where I can honestly say that my affection for things in this world have gone greater than they have for God. And that's a good time for what we call repentance. And in an extreme way, we might want to just throw off those things. We might want to just let go of them. And that's sort of not necessarily what I'm saying, but we need to be willing to put everything on the altar, because God wants to use us to do incredible, supernatural, powerful things. We are his plan, and we can get dead in this thing. And I want God so desperately to make us alive. I mean, I really hope you hear my heart in this, because I think it's what we know that keeps us back from what we should do. There are times where you can preach a message and we can even open the Bible. Friends, we can open the Bible and we read about, I mean, God supernaturally protecting, you know, Daniel from, because Daniel wouldn't stop praying. They threw him into a pit with lions and God supernaturally sent his angels to protect him. Sometimes I feel like we read that like it didn't really happen. I think we can read about, you know, the sea getting parted and going, I mean, we're talking about a God who not only walked on water, commanded the waves to silence, but he caused water to part so that 600,000 to a million people could walk through on dry ground, and he wiped out the enemy. I mean, we're talking about a God who spoke and stars came out of his mouth and reality was established. I mean, sometimes I think we get a little dead about who we're talking about. This is the God that can do anything. And we reduce him down to something that he is surely not. He is great and awesome and amazing and wonderful. And there are times where my eyes are blind and I can't see who he really is. And I'm like, God, will you open my eyes to see who you really are? Because when I see you, everything else is just less than. It's not about somebody coming and saying you do or don't love God. I've heard those sermons. I've heard preachers come and rail at people for not loving God and rail at people for loving sports or this, that, or the other more. It's not about that. It's that, do we see God for who God is? Because I believe when we do, our hearts just go on fire and everything else is just less than and is put in its proper place. His majesty, his glory. If he were to walk right down through this aisle right now, I think all of us would be on our face. Women would come with wonderful hair and they would leave frazzled. I mean, it'd be, you know, shirts would be messed up. It'd be all, you know, but we would lay before God because he's God. We need to see God. We need to see God. And there's a verse that Jesus shared. It was the time of a great feast. And I want to just open with this verse. I'm not going to share a whole lot this morning, but John 7:37 says this. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out. Now I want you to picture Jesus standing in front of a massive amount of people. And the Bible says, Jesus stood and cried out. He wasn't silent. And saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Now listen to this. He's talking about hunger. He's talking about thirst. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Now, I've preached a lot from that verse that rivers of living water, which is speaking about the Holy Spirit wants to move through our life. But this is what Jesus says before he actually talks about the Holy Spirit moving through our life. He said, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. Friends, it does not say, if anyone is thirsty, I will come to you and give. That is not what the text says. It says, come to me. And Jesus stands in front of our life and basically in one way or another says, do you want to see the rivers of living? Do you want to see great things happen? Do you want to see your family set free? Do you want to see people saved? Do you want to see people come alive? Do you want to see a generation changed? If we don't have a vision for the world changing this morning, let's ask God for an upgrade because he wants us to partner with his heart and see the world changed, and at least our world, the world that you and I enter into every day. We've got to have a vision for that, because when we step into that, then we need what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And in so we have a hunger for it to happen. I want the Holy Spirit to use me. And it's not because there's some selfish desire where I want to be special or, I mean, all this could be over for me. I could just be, you know, whoever, but I would still contend for God to move in power through his Holy Spirit in my neighbor's life, in my children's lives. I mean, I don't want my children to know. I want my children to believe that their dad is hungry for God, and I want that to affect their hearts. I want them to think above anything else that they know that dad loves and likes, that it's God that's at the center of it all. Dad has a hunger for God. Dad's praying right now. Dad's in the Word. Dad's serving other people. Dad's helping people. I want my daughter gets lit up whenever I share the gospel with somebody. And matter of fact, my daughter challenges me at times when we're at a restaurant or Starbucks, even in the drive-thru. I'm like, honey, I ain't got no time. But she's like, Dad, you should share Jesus with them right now. And my heart's just wanting to get my coffee. My heart's just wanting to, you know, chill out. My heart's just wanting to wake up. My heart's just wanting to, you know, do my thing. And my daughter's like, Daddy, you should share Jesus with them right now. I want my daughter to know that her dad will take risks for God. I want my daughter to know that her dad will pray for the sick. I want my daughter to know because that's what I want her to do. Supernatural life, that, I mean, no restrictions, no limitations. And there's a hunger that's embedded into our family that just can't be put out. It just can't be put out. Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. We're talking about a God who can do anything. I mean, I started reading the scriptures in the Bible, and it's pretty incredible when you actually just read the stories that we tend to gloss over. I mean, God telling the people of Israel to walk around the city of Jericho, which is like 10-foot thick rock that's just this wall that's built up just as high as you can see. And he's like, walk around it on the sixth day, shout at the wall, and it will crumble. It's like, God can do anything. This wouldn't be my plan, okay? But this is what God did. I mean, we're talking about a God that can do anything. And there's a scripture that came to me this morning when Jesus was walking on the water and the disciples were in the boat. And Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, and there were winds and there were waves, and the disciples were getting freaked out. They were scared. What's going on? What's happening? We're going to die. These are experienced fishermen, and they're scared. This must have been a storm, such a storm. And the Bible says that Jesus was sleeping conveniently, and they woke Jesus up. Master, what's happening? And Jesus gets up and rebukes their faith. Men, you have little faith. And the Bible says he rebukes the winds and the waves, and the sea went calm. And then it says that the disciples were scared. And they said about Jesus, what manner of man is this that he can command the winds and the waves to be silent? This is what I was thinking. Sometimes we get too familiar with the God that's in our life because we think that it's just sort of just normal life, just natural world. We lose track that this thing is far beyond what we can see with our natural eyes. And the disciples had an encounter where they were just getting comfortable and familiar with the one that was in their boat. And then he did something that just blew their mind, and they got a little scared. What manner of man? Who in the world are we with? And that, I mean, there are times where we got to see Jesus for who Jesus is, not who we've made him to be. Not who we fit into our box, or this is what he's like, and this is what he's like. And we explain about God. Sometimes I get nervous, to be totally honest with you, because I'm somebody who gets to talk about who God is and what he's like. And I sort of have this picture that I'm not going to enter into heaven and Jesus walk up to me and say, Ben, I'm so glad you're here. Michael, Gabriel, all the angels, let's gather them around. Hey, Ben, could you explain me to me? We've been waiting a long time for you to come and articulate who I am and what I'm like. We really appreciated how you did that on the earth, and we know that you know a lot. That's not going to happen. Amen. Okay. But I believe it's not what we know, it's what we do with what we know. And friends, if we're sitting here this morning and we can acknowledge and be honest before this God that walks on water, and this God that spoke and stars were and universes were made, I mean, we can be honest about where we're not before God. I think we can start getting on with the business of the kingdom of heaven. But if we're here this morning and we can't be honest about having a dead heart, and we can't be honest about not having real life flowing through, if we can't, we're just going to have a religion about God instead of a life flowing with God. And I don't know about you, but I believe this. We want a life flowing with God. I don't even think we do religion well, to be honest with you. I sure don't. I missed Veterans Day last week, and I apologize for that. I can only do three things at one time, and I always blow it. I don't even do this stuff well half the time. All I have is God. That's it. I mess up all the time. I give people reasons to be offended usually daily. I don't have that going for me. All I have is him. That's all that I have. That's the only reason that I'm here. I never got a Bible college degree. I, matter of fact, I didn't even graduate college, if I were to be totally honest with you. I just got God, man. That's it. And you asked me to work here, and I didn't submit a resume. I didn't get hired because I was smart. And it's his fault. And I'm not the best organizer, and I'm not the best administrator, but I'm a good lover of God. Some days I'm not, but that's all I want, man. All I want is Jesus, man. I see the brokenness of this world, and I come from it. I lived in it. I came out of it. And when I look at the world, I see a lot of it, but I also see a God that's supernatural and full of power, and he wants his people to be hungry to see that world changed. And if I could be honest with you, I want Mill Creek Foursquare to be such an alive church that when people walk in here, they just sense God all over this place. I want to be funny, and I want to have fun with all the others. I mean, I want all that, but I, without God, this is nothing. None of us would be here, and I want it to be filled with God. And here's what happens. We kind of get comfortable with where we're at. You can hide even as a pastor. Most people won't even ask you how you're doing because you're typically the one to ask people how they're doing. And you can hide, you know, maybe I missed my devotion on Friday. It was a day off. Or maybe you can... I started getting a little comfortable, and the Lord put a fire in my heart, and he was like, I don't want you to get comfortable. I want you to be extremely uncomfortable. I want the leaders of our church to be the hungriest. When there's an altar call, we're the first ones up here. When people say, you know, do you want, those would raise their hands for more of God, or those that would ask of God for more. I mean, that leaders, us as staff members or leaders, we'd be the first. A leader should be the first one. God, fill me. When I'm at a conference or I'm at a service and I'm with interns or I'm with other people, sometimes we sit back and they give an altar call and, oh, that's for those people. I'm like, get up to the whole row. I'm like, get up, let's go. Just move people out of the way. I want God. I don't care if that makes me look like I don't have something or if it makes me look like maybe I should be somewhere that I'm not. I want God more than I want what people think about me. And I want that for our hearts at Mill Creek Foursquare. I'm speaking in tandem with Chris's heart. I want that. None of this like, well, I know that. And brother, Ben, I've experienced that. And I got filled with the Holy Spirit back then. Well, where are you at now? Where are you at now? Where are you at now? What are you hungry for right now? Friends, just hear me. Hear my heart. Where are you at? What are you hungry for in your life right now? Are you more hungry for God than anything else? Do you want to share the gospel with people? Sometimes I don't. And if I can't admit that, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change. Do I want drug addicts to be free? Do I want messed up people to come into this church and wreck our polite, nice service? Do I want that? I want it. Some days I wonder. But I was one of those. I want God to mess this up. That'd be cool. If it means that people get changed. Not just for the heck of it. I'm not interested in just being weird. But I want God. And whatever that means, it means, doesn't it? I mean, there's a passage in Psalm 77. I want to kind of close with this. Sherry, if you're around, love you. Psalm 77, I didn't really preach much. I just shared my heart. There's a difference between teaching and sharing. I was just sharing this morning. That was a bad teaching, but I appreciated him sharing. It's great. In Psalm 77, this has become a very meaningful verse for me. A man named Asaph wrote this really as a lament. The people of God were getting deported because God had judged them, essentially, because they were not walking in righteousness according to the law. They were not following the ways of the Lord, and the Lord sent prophets to them, and they didn't listen. The people of God had everything that they needed. He'd given them new land. He had blessed them. He had shown them his ways. He had given them his words. They had everything that they needed. And even when that wasn't enough, he sent messengers to them and said, come back to the place that I want you to be. Walk with me. And some of them killed those messengers. They killed them. They stoned them. See, what they did was instead of acknowledging where they were and instead of acknowledging that they needed God, they blamed the people that were telling them to come back to God, and they stoned them for it, killed them. And in the midst of them getting judged and deported because it was the very last thing that God could do, in the midst of that, a man named Asaph wrote a psalm, and it was a lament. The lament was, God, what is happening to us? Where are you? Why is this going on? And in the back of his mind, he kind of knew that it was a judgment and he knew what it was for. But he was still experiencing this, saying, why is this happening? But there was this moment in his lament where he actually something shifted prophetically. Something changed in his heart. Something changed in his mind. And he starts to say this. I will remember, Psalm 77, verse 11. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the people, your mighty arm. You redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. I mean, he's why? And then all of a sudden something shifts in his heart and he starts to say, I will remember what you've done. I will remember who you are. I will remember what you're capable of. I will remember that you have hope for us. I will remember that you're a good God no matter what I see with my eyes or what I feel in my heart or what I'm experiencing in my life. I will choose to believe that this is who you are and this is what you're going to do. In the midst of our day, I will choose to believe that. And when you want a hunger, when you want to cultivate a hunger in your life, a hunger for God, you've got to remember what God has done in your life. What has God done in our life that we can call to remembrance this morning and say, God, do it again. And if not just in us, do it in people that we meet this week. Do it in people that are in our family. Do it in people, God, that need you desperately. Maybe I'm okay and I just need a little bit more, but there are people in my life that need you and I need to care about that. And right now I don't. But I choose to remember that you're a good God. I remember a God that set a 19-year-old drug addict, sex addict kid free. I choose to remember that's God. I choose to remember that God's the God of deliverance, that he's the God of life, that he's the God of healing, and he can heal the broken. I choose to remember a God, not a God of religion, but a God that says, I want to make you alive, not just religious, not just doing the right things, but I want your heart to be on fire for this thing. A God who performs miracles. Friends, you're a miracle. And he sees every sin that we're committing right now. He sees everything that we're doing when we're by ourselves. He sees every thought that's going through our mind. He sees it all and he knows where we need to get set free right now. He knows that he can set us free and bring us back to first love. But he wants us to be like, this is what I need. I need to be alive again, God. I need to be alive again. And we got to put our knowledge to the side, and we got to put our busyness to the side and our inconveniences and what people think about us and our fear of man. We got to let that go and abandon ourselves to the Jesus that we love, the Jesus that came and did everything so that we could have life. If this is truly all that there is right now, friends, I'm telling you, there's more. There is more than what you have right now. It doesn't matter how long you've known him. It doesn't matter what you've experienced in him. There is more for you. There is more for me. He just wants us to believe that and admit that we might be dead, that there might be parts of our heart that need to be opened, doors that need to be opened and doors that need to be closed. And there are days at church where we've got to just jump up and admit it. And while maybe this sermon isn't a sermon, maybe this is just a plea, and maybe I'm just a crazy guy shouting at you, but I believe that, you know what? I believe that God wants us to make us alive this morning. I believe that his heart is beating to have his people on fire for him as much as he's on fire for us. He wants us to love him like he loves us. Not just rest in the fact that he loves us and we just sort of do whatever life comes. No, he wants us to have that same love towards him.